Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hot route! Red 7, Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot route!
I don't. What is hot route?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame-ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the Big Bob halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide-open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch! Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the ball?
I'll get you the ball!
I want the ball! I want the ball!
You will get it! Get it!
I hope he didn't kill somebody.
Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
I got a whole lot of money. Y'all it for me. Bottle keep popping that water, man. Y'all drinking. Yeah. It's a party. It's a party. It's a party.
Merry Christmas. It's 11 personnel. A happy holiday edition from your good buddy Nick Roush and Adam Luckett. Tis the season to be jolly, and I am so jolly and merry and bright that that dork Eli Drinkwitz is once again a loser.
What a strange season they had. You go back to SEC media days, Drinkwitz was kind of the talk of Hoover there for a bit. A bunch of Bazelak buzz. Tyler Beatty ends up turning into a first-team All-SEC running back, but the defense just falls off a cliff. Connor Bazelak plays, I think, through injuries all season. They have this really bad season, but then they win two close games at home against South Carolina and Florida, get bowl eligible, and then they lose a bowl game like they lost last night in dramatic fashion.
It was a dramatic loss.
Really strange, and on top of having a historic recruiting class for them. So really strange season for the Tigers.
Strange is one word to describe Drinkwitz. Now, he did ruin a perfectly good cover with that late score. I got on Army early. It got all the way up to like 6.5 once they found out that Beatty wasn't going to play. But still, Army got the – late win on field goal. Happy for Freddie and all the supporters of our military academy today. Because, man, it feels so good to tell Missouri to suck it. One of a few good early bowl games we've had. I don't know about you, Luckett, but I'm not doing well in my bowl picks. Down to, I think, 1-3 now. So the bowl picks have not been hot so far. But you know what? There's plenty of time to turn things around. Plenty of time to turn things around.
Yeah, it's going to get – really, it starts ramping up next week. You got the end of this week, Gasparilla Bowl tonight, sold out between UCF and Florida, so that could be pretty fun.
Do you have a feeling on that game? I was talking with somebody, and they were like, I like Florida so much that I think I'm going to bet UCF.
See, I kind of like the other side. I kind of like UCF. But there is that sneaky kind of where they might be a little bit more motivated than you think because it's the in-state team and they don't want to lose to the in-state team.
It's such a weird dynamic.
But you look at Florida's roster, they just had, once again, a lot of opt-outs, a skeleton coaching staff. You know, a lot's riding on Emory Jones being good in this game. And where UCF, that this is a, like, this is – it hasn't been a great year for Malzahn, but if you win this one, there's going to be a lot of buzz for the team. This is a perfect example of some artificial momentum can be created for your program for UCF tonight. It's recording Thursday morning. The game's tonight. But, yeah, that's a definitely a spot where they could create some real, real buzz going into next year. And then next week is when it really starts. That next week, the 27th through the 1st, is when the bowl games really start to get cooking.
Yeah, yeah. And we have a little bit of a lull around the Christmas time. We also got more NFL this weekend, which kind of throws a wrench into things. But like you said, next week's really ramping up. Games during the day, Monday, and then pretty much starting Tuesday at noon, you're going to have football.
Yeah, Tuesday's awesome. It goes from, I think, noon until about 1 in the morning. Oh, I think there's 4 or 5 games.
Going to be great. I'll be down in Orlando by then. It should be a pretty hectic week. They've got a lot of things, a lot of different media opportunities that I'll be attending. But for folks who are actually going to Orlando for the Citrus Bowl, the big important event is after Kentucky plays at noon in basketball on New Year's Eve, there's a pep rally afterwards at 4:45, and it's going to be at the kind of International Drive. There's a place like Town Point or something like that. It's on the south side of International Drive. It's a nice area. Nice area. So that will be on the game day. And then I think on Wednesday they're having the Citrus Bowl parade. That's right, 10:45. I don't know if y'all are parade people, but I am going to try to pop in there in between practice and coordinators. There's just a lot happening down there. Hopefully we can get a watch party of some sort organized for that basketball game. I have not been in communication with the big bosses. They just got back on the road from Vegas, and there's a lot going on. But I do know on our end, Luckett, you'll be getting down there a few days beforehand, but we might have something special cooked up for after the game.
Yeah, we got the wheels are in motion for a few 11 personnel plans in more ways than one.
I mean, they're quite literally wheels are moving.
Yeah, yeah. So we we're still trying to work out the kinks or whatever, but yeah, we could have a couple of surprises up our sleeves for sure.
Yeah, you know, maybe in the RV a lot. Just something to keep in mind as we get closer to the bowl game. We can talk a little bit about that today, but I think the biggest news that we got to talk about that we couldn't really touch on during signing day is Brad White. His return and his kind of comments around it. And man, I got to tell you, like, it, Brad's always struck me as a different kind of guy, and it's hard to, I don't know, maybe I'm just a little jaded and I'm not used to seeing people like, but like that's, he is who he is. And he's just a genuine guy who had a chance to go make a ton of money down at LSU. He went down there to see the fit, and you were like, okay, what coach just goes down there to see if things fit or not? But like in White's case, he actually believed it, and the fit was in Lexington. And the way he described it, he said, you can't put a monetary amount on that. And Luckett, I don't think we can overstate how important it is that Kentucky was able to keep White in town.
Yeah, it's essential, but there still is a money element to that, to keeping these guys. That's why the Stoops contract extension, he's getting up to $6.35 million. Caps out at 7.6, I believe, in 2027. But the biggest thing in that was the salary pool. They raised it up to $6.5 million. So you're going to be able to pay a guy like Brad White. Like, I would expect he's – like, him and Liam Cohen are both going to go over a million as coordinators, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And so this on the heel is really – I mean, you're – 8 months, you could have lost Summerall, Klinkscale, and Brad White.
Richard, that would have just three gutted of your top four assistants.
Just gutted your defensive staff. And so it was really, really essential to keep White, the head of the snake, over there in the defensive room. Kentucky's had four top – this defense this year, Nick's going to be a top 40 defense per S&P. And if you kind of just added up all the metrics together, that's probably where you would end up. They've had four of them in the Stoops era. White's been on staff for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
He's been the coordinator for the last three. They're just consistently, last 3 years, they've kind of been who they are. They haven't had the real star power of that 2018 group. If he ever gets that, they're probably going to be a top 15 defense on one unit. But you know exactly what you're going to get with him. And you're matching it up with a top 25 offense this year. You kind of see what the results can be. And so I think it was just really, really important to keep him. And he's kind of finding some recruiting rhythm.
Yeah, definitely. Which is it's not something you'd expect when you get a guy who says he's going to recruit the Northeast, but he's got some. He signed some talented guys in this class. And kind of going back to what I said about him being a little bit different, he gave us some different – it wasn't just the typical canned answers we get following signing day. Like, you know, they got a lot of speed, a lot of athleticism, you know. He went into detail talking about those edges. And
yeah.
And I appreciated how candid he was. And he's like, you know, I'm really picky about my guys, maybe to a fault, but these guys check those boxes. Keaton Wade might be his ability to pick up things in pass coverage is really ahead of his time. Like, he really knows what he's doing. And then Fearbry is kind of the opposite way, where Fearbry's a little bit more technical when it comes to edge rushing and whatnot, but is still has to work on that pass coverage aspect as well. And it's having White there to teach them is important for their development. I mean, if you would have lost him right before signing day, you're probably still going to be able to hold on, but it's not the same. It's not the same as having him there to help these guys grow. He's been a key part of that. And having good edge talent that can having a sort of pipeline of edge talent to the NFL, that works wonders for your program.
Yeah. Just White in general, like, you know what you're going to get. Like, you can bank on Kentucky being a top six or so defense in the SEC next year, every year, I think, with him. And then as his talent increases, I think you're going to see the defense increase. It's going to get better than what we've seen here in the past. As far as the edge guys, I mean, yeah, those are two good-looking prospects, two top 250 prospects going to go into that room. You look at Fearbry, he kind of fits the Jack mold, weak side of the formation, hand in the dirt kind of frequently, and just rushing the passer, causing disruption. Where Keaton Wade kind of fits that Sam linebacker mold, where playing a little bit more off ball, playing a lot more to the field. It's a lot more about setting the edge in the run game. You're not really used as a pass rusher some, but not too often. Now, with the defense, what we're seeing is they're kind of going to that Sam kind of nickel role, using kind of a hybrid defender. So it's going to be interesting to see how they manage those two. But like he mentioned with Trevin Wallace, there's going to be probably a chance where hey, it's third and 12, see ball, get ball, hit ball.
Right.
Let's go chase and run, kind of like they did with Katie McDaniel this year. UC wants some twists and stuff like that. But the two good-looking prospects, and it's just kind of overall the whole 2022 signing class is just a lot to get excited about. With that, defensively, they've got some pieces they need to plug still.
Yes, but yes, they do.
With White there, you like what you have. I think coming out of Stoops' press conference, the Keyonte Goodwin stuff obviously stole the show. But
a lot of oxygen.
One of the big talking points I thought was like how he talked about they needed really a guy, an experienced, an older hand kind of at that linebackers coach, which is probably what he was talking about will probably be the co-defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Like it sounded like they're going to go and pay some money to get this next guy.
Yeah, and they have the money. When you increase the salary pool, not only are you giving your coordinators raises to be competitive in the league and to be able to keep White, but you also can go spend $750,000 to get a co-defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So
that's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out once the bowl game's over.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll happen then. And then, I saw Summerall just hired Army's DC today too. He's making some moves now that some bowl games are wrapping up. But I also saw the way that White talked about too, like what's left, because Kentucky has signed the highest ranked recruiting class in school history, but they're not done. February is still happening. The transfer portal is still happening. The way White talked, it made it sound like that they're really going all in on the Fort Lauderdale edge are Mason Thomas. He's currently an Iowa State commit. Brent Venables offered him once he got to Oklahoma, and he plans on taking an official.
Yeah, there's some Oklahoma buzz right now.
So that's going to be a tough one to fight off. I know they're still recruiting Davison and Boonison. Do we think there's going to be any other high school guys outside of those two they could take?
I think it. Now that you got Keontae, you don't really need to take kind of a transfer offensive tackle or offensive lineman like they were looking at with Brendan Bordner. But I wouldn't be against just adding another offensive lineman to that room, whether it's kind of a guard tackle swing guy. That just wouldn't hurt, you know. Still potential you could lose Rosenthal. If you lost Rosenthal, I think you might want to look at the portal, get a potential tackle. But I don't think it would hurt to just go ahead and add another lineman in there. So maybe if that Jackson Brown kid could be, if you like his tape and the visit works well when he comes, you might just want to go ahead and lock him in, get a flip from Cal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think right now, Nick, we're looking at 76 to 77 scholarships they've got right now. That's not counting Jaquez Jones and DeAndre Square, who there's major buzz about them returning as super seniors. And there's Cleavon Thomas is kind of a wild card. So they really have right now, they probably have 9 scholarships available. Super seniors might take 3 to 4 of those. So you get down to 5, but then you're going to have some more, I think, attrition. So that gets you like 6 or 7. So there's really, they're going to have some wiggle room here, but I think it's important as this class winds up, you really need another body at outside linebacker. And I think you probably need to address cornerback and safety.
Yes.
And then receiver is kind of like the pickle area. They really need it. Like to me, Nick, they need another veteran in that room.
They don't have any.
They could potentially play. Right.
Like, I mean, Robinson is a veteran, but he's not a veteran at Kentucky, you know.
You're going to have DeMarcus Harris is really your only, is going to be your only veteran next year, if that's assuming Cleavon Thomas is not coming back. So maybe that's the decision they have to decide. Do we want, because you really need an older guy in that room. Do we want Cleavon? Do we think he can contribute, or do we just want to go out and get somebody? Now, Jordan Watkins just committed to Ole Miss, so he's off the board.
Good landing spot for him. Even though they don't, the kind of quarterback situation's uncertain there, still, you'd like to think that there's going to be plenty of guys, you know, that can.
So that's kind of the area you look at. Like a guy like Jake Bobo at Duke, he transferred, but he's now committed to UCLA. Like that guy was kind of been perfect. You could have played him. He's a big X receiver. He's a senior. You had him for 1 year. He's probably going to come in and, you know, no nonsense. You like someone of that ilk, I think, or just a potential game breaker type guy. But yeah, I think like to me, they could really use a receiver. Now I just don't, but they got a lot of scholarships in that room. So, but they're just really, really young.
You know, I think we have a connection to Jake Bobo too. In his Twitter, what did it say here? He said, oh man, I don't know where it went away, but said first. No, never mind. He was just something he retweeted. But he's teammates with Walla Ball's brother. I mean, that's not really.
Yeah, but he's already committed to UCLA, so
he did. Oh
yeah, that's. I was just using him as an example, a 1 year guy, experienced. It's not a game breaker, but you kind of know what you're going to get with him, just in case like these young guys don't hit. You know what I'm saying? But right, yeah, I mean. Right. That's an interesting spot. And then, I mean, they could really use another corner, like a transfer corner.
Yeah.
And even a safety, like you could use a transfer safety, or maybe you just bring Asian back as a super senior.
Yeah. Or maybe Dort comes back. Who knows?
Or Dort.
That's what makes this thing so tricky for, like, normally. Yeah. It's pretty cut and dry, but the COVID year complicates everything. The transfer portal complicates everything. You can't It isn't as easy on us. It isn't as easy on the coaches. The coaches get paid a lot more money to figure this out, though. So yeah, we get to kind of sit back, and they don't have to do it right away either. That's what's kind of nice about
the right. Board. I mean, at Edge, if Jordan Wright just returned, you'd be fine.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
You know, that would solve a lot of issues, and you could spend your scholarship capital elsewhere. Like, they're going to have three specialists on scholarship next year: Chance Poor, Wilson Berry, Jackson Smith. Is Jackson Smith coming in for the spring?
I don't know. Did we get an early enrollee list?
I did. I don't know where it's. Or here it is right here.
Okay. Yeah.
He is not. He's not one of the spring enrollees. Like, that one would have been like, they could have just had a competition there. Loser leaves town, that's. But I joke, but like, do you really need two scholarship kickers on the roster?
No, you don't.
So, I mean, not to bag on Chance Poor or anything, but.
But, I mean, he's been here, what, 3 or 4 years?
Like, yeah, let me see here. He'll be a redshirt senior next year.
Yeah. Great time to grad transfer.
Yeah, so that, now they want him for the bowl game. That could be a prime portal guy after the bowl game, potentially.
Right.
So, and there's going to be the portal bump after these bowl games, too, of guys going in. And whatnot. I mean, we already saw it down at Louisville. They got it the pre-bowl game. Greedy Vance, their starting cornerback, entered.
That was a pretty big loss for them. A lot of folks were excited about Greedy Vance. But things will remain fluid when it comes to roster building. That's kind of just the latest. It's hard to really keep your number. These things have calmed down a little bit for Christmas. They haven't calmed down in the Gator Bowl. We've got Rutgers going there. Greg Schiano going to get a little bit of action down in Jacksonville. Gosh, that's hilarious.
Jersey's going to Jacksonville.
What if Gavin Wimsett gets like some significant play against this Wake Forest team? That would be hilarious.
So another, I think that game's New Year's Eve at like 11 a.m.
And I think you're correct.
So we get maybe a little split screen action there during Kentucky High Point.
Yeah, 11 a.m. kickoff, happening at the same time as the Sun Bowl, which I always forget to watch that because it's on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And it also looks so much more comical when it's the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl, you know, and just, you just got to laugh at it. I will say, too, you mentioned contracts earlier. Man, Stoops, I thought he was making more money. Why did I just assume that he was making $6 million already?
I mean, I guess with the bonuses and stuff,
yeah,
it adds up. But
that's
probably
right, yeah.
But he was right at $5 million, I think, and then you get the random bonuses. So it was going to end up between $5 million and $6 million.
Man, I'm a little scatterbrained all over the place. You could tell that it's a couple days before the holiday season. Hopefully you're traveling safely out there, and hopefully – You're making a little extra coin playing with our friends at Prize Picks. And if you haven't tried Prize Picks before, unfortunately, I couldn't try it in the state of Ohio. They don't have daily fantasy in Ohio, but they do have daily fantasy in Kentucky. You download the Prize Picks app, you deposit up to $100, and they will give you an extra $100 on your first deposit when you use the code PERSONNEL. So sign up, use the code PERSONNEL. You play, you pick some players, you go over or under their totals, and you parlay them together. You can either do straight up parlay and make it like 5 times the odds, or just play it safe. And if one or two don't hit, then you're good to go. And I can't spoil exactly what it's going to be, but there's a one that's going to, the BBN's really going to like on Christmas Day. So check out Christmas Eve Prize Picks. They're basically giving you a free pick in Prize Picks. If you go download the app, use the code PERSONNEL at checkout, or not at checkout, when you deposit, and they will match your first deposit up to $100 over at Prize Picks.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lucky, did you know that Kentucky has scored on 7 of its first 12 drives this year?
Yeah, in every game except Georgia, they scored on either the first or the second possession.
Yeah, that's pretty pretty impressive. Pretty impressive.
Cohen's opening scripts were one of the better developments of the season, I believe.
Yeah, no, it certainly was. It's also one of the first seasons where you've had, a 1,000-yard receiver, 1,000-yard rusher, and 1,000-yard passer. Or maybe, I guess it was 2,000-yard passer. Only other time that's happened in school history was with Woodson Little and Stevie Johnson back in 07. So Kentucky's doing a lot of things that haven't been done in a long time. 32 wins over the last four seasons is 6 in the SEC and I believe 16th in all of college football right now, Power 5 football. So I've learned some of that checking out the media guide. I don't know if you folks are into it. I had a stack of them back in the day when I was a kid because I used to love stuff like that. Now they're all digital. It's online at ukathletics.com. And I've got it linked on kentuckysportsradio.com. The reason why I bring that up is a depth chart is also in there. And you will not find Josh Ali in that depth chart because him and Isaiah Epps were unfortunately involved in an accident this holiday season. If you're traveling out there, please be careful. It's crazy. It's crazy getting around town earlier this week. I was doing a little bit of that. Unfortunately, Epps and Ali, guys that came to Kentucky together in 2017, they're close buds. Ali and Epps both got injured. They are okay, but they will not be able to play in the bowl game. And Lucky, I have a feeling this is definitely the end of the road for Ali at Kentucky, but it's probably the same case for Epps as well.
Yeah, just real quick before getting them, the offensive numbers, like you said, I think quietly, like this has been a really, really good offense. Some top 20 numbers. Yards per play, they're 16th. Yards per rush, they're 4th nationally. Third down conversion rate, they're 5th nationally. Red zone touchdown rate, 6th nationally. Tackles for loss per game allowed, they're 14th nationally. Success rate, they're 6th nationally. Points per drive, 18th nationally. Like, you just look down on down the list, it's just been really good. Outside of turnovers, they really don't have a weakness. I mean, it's just been a really solid, well-rounded offense.
Famous last words.
Right. It's been really good. Now to the receivers. Yeah. I mean, it's an unfortunate ending for Ali. He's been really good this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a really good senior season. Epps on the field, just, it could never really click for him. Obviously had that leg injury that he seemingly took a long time to recover from.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I guess, you look up, it's the end of the road for those two. Ali, I think, pretty good story, kind of stuck with it,
mm-hmm.
could transfer, stayed. Had to look like he was going to have a promising year in 2019, quarterback gets hurt. 2020 was just, we know what that was offensively. It was a nightmare, more ways than one. And then he comes back this year and really, really kind of carves out a role, recovers from an in-season injury, and really closes strong. Just would have liked to seen him be able to cap it off in one final game.
Right, right. It's a bummer, but we hope he gets well soon. Hopefully it's nothing too serious to keep him from doing any sort of draft stuff, but the timing is just not on his side. So a real shame for those guys. I'm not sure if they'll still be able to travel with the team and hang out in Orlando or not. I don't know the details, but I can't. That depth chart was pretty funny, though. Like, there's like three guys on there that are in the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. So not exactly the Bible. This is not an infallible document. But for all ENFs, you hope they get well soon. You're glad that it's not anything worse. Because it just don't need more bad news around the holiday season.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at the bowl game, DeMarcus Harris is going to get some run, which is not different than the last few games of the season. He was playing over Epps pretty much.
He's playing pretty decent too. Pretty solid.
Yeah. He's had some moments. Chauncey Magwood is going to be in there a little bit. Isaiah Cummings is going to play a lot, and he's going to play a lot at receiver in that bowl game.
Yeah, he alluded to it, having to take on some new different route concepts, and they're just going to be asking him to do a little bit more. When you do the numbers, they average about 5.5 receptions a game. So that you just have to find 5.5 receptions elsewhere.
And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe Christian Lewis sneaks on the field for a snap or two.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't either.
He's got a game to burn. They've said he's put on some weight. We've already heard Will Levis talk about him.
20 pounds. That's a lot of weight. But it's really not when you saw how skinny he was.
I'm pretty sure he's eating two suppers a night. A lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Why? Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with whole milk for bad. Foolproof.
There you go.
But, yeah, he's one of the few guys, too, that during bowl prep they've been really excited to share some, like, you know, this guy, he's been doing some stuff out there. So he's one to keep an eye on. He's really the only – young receiver that didn't get that much run.
DeKell, but that was injury.
That was injury cause. So excited to see Lewis. I think the only snaps I recall, it was just the end zone fades with Bo Allen. But aside from that, he hasn't got a whole lot of play. Mm-hmm. He needed to gain the weight to physically develop and mature. So, you know, maybe we get a little splash from him this bowl season.
Yeah, and it sounds like there's no opt-outs over there. But you do always have to be careful with these bowl games. Like Eli Drinkwitz didn't say anything, and they came out the day before, and 14 players weren't playing or something ridiculous. So you do have to keep an eye on that. Like
they were playing
Wandale Robinson hasn't really said he has a draft decision. He hasn't even made a decision. So I think the assumption is, yeah, he's probably playing. I mean, the big one's Josh Pascal. How healthy is he? That's probably like – he's probably going to go down there and try to give it a go during practice that week. And if it's probably going to be kind of a game week decision, I would imagine for him. So those are the guys I would say to monitor.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to play in a defensive caliber Iowa. It's not great not to have your true number two receiver. Cause after him, you're kind of guessing. I think Chetan McClain could get some reps kind of in the slot here down there. But Iowa's banged up too. They're going to be without one of their starting cornerbacks, and then their third cornerback's hurt too. So they've got some issues as well on defense. So
interesting
storyline of the game, I think.
Their top rusher opted out as well. You could have some more of that down the stretch. I think we'll get a decent idea early on because they do open up practices a little bit more for the bowl games. So, you know, I'll be able to see if Josh is practicing or not. But nevertheless, it's an exciting time. As Jacquez Jones said, I'm just ready to get down to the warm. And you know me, Luckett, I'm not a big – like, I enjoy cold weather. Like, it's winter, it's Christmas time, let's bundle up, you know. But it will be nice to have a few days in the sun to really enjoy the Citrus Bowl. But, yeah, we got some things cooked up for after Christmas, just – hoping everybody can have a safe and joyful Christmas after, it's been kind of crazy the last few years.
Manage this little COVID thing we're in right now, A&M, out of the Gator Bowl, like we mentioned earlier. So we coming back from Christmas is going to be, I think, a big hurdle to get through.
Right.
But overall, I think going down there, it's a huge – like, it's a treat for everyone. Like, you get to go down there, Orlando. The early weather, I don't know if you looked at the weather yet, Nick.
I have not.
Looking pretty nice.
Whew. Man.
Low 80s, sunny. Sometimes partly cloudy. Real nice.
Oh, man. Sit out by the pool.
Break out the shorts. during the day.
Man, can't wait.
Yeah. It's going to be very interested in this game. Just kind of see. I think Kentucky's better. I mean, we can get into kind of how it all shakes out next week, but I think Kentucky's better. But Iowa, they just don't make mistakes. I mean, and if you turn it over, they'll kill you.
Sound football team.
Yeah. So very interesting game.
I hope those are that turnover line you had doesn't come back to bite you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the real thing in this. Like, for me, if Levis plays, if he's just solid, I find it hard to see Kentucky losing. Like, when Iowa has lose, like, against Iowa State, like, I think Iowa State is a better football team than Iowa, but Brock Purdy turned into a pumpkin in the game. And they had a bunch of turnovers, and then they were down 17 in the blink of an eye. Like, you just got to be solid. And I think Kentucky, they have to stay committed to the run, even if it's going to be frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Three, because Iowa doesn't get a lot of tackles for loss, but they're gonna get a lot of 2 yard gain, 3 yard gain, 4 yard mm-hmm. gain. Their guys up front do a good job of getting off blocks, and then their linebackers don't miss tackles. They get you on the ground, and so you're just gonna have to kind of stay committed. But I think Levis can have some success with his legs too, which could help Kentucky a lot and open things up. But they play too deep coverage a bunch.
Going to take away those deep shots, yeah.
Right, but that's not something Kentucky's great at, we've seen throughout the year.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe, David Bell just torched Iowa 3 years in a row. Wandell Robinson's kind of a guy you could potentially comp to him.
Mm-hmm. I hope they're watching that Purdue film a lot over at the Joe Kraft football training facility.
So the thing is, there's going to be times where they're going to be able to get Wandell bracketed or whatever. How do you hurt them? Potentially maybe the tight ends, Cummings, how you use him. It's going to be all interesting to see how Cohen kind of designs that. And defensively, man, I was pretty bad on offense. When they've had success this year, they've been able to create some explosive plays, usually through the passing game.
Some.
Yeah, but it's, that's what Kentucky takes away, plus Kentucky's ability to stop the run. Spencer Petras is a kind of a statue in the pocket, and he's banged up. We're not sure who's really going to start there for them. I would assume he is, but Kentucky's pass rush has kind of came on. So, like,
it's been good the last month of the season.
There's a chance for the team to have a really good game, I think, on defense. So I think it's you get excited about that.
Mark Stoops has never, never, never pitched a shutout.
I don't want to say it, but I think it's a possibility.
Ooh.
I mean, if your offense plays turnover free football, you don't give Iowa short fields. Like I've had that stat where half their games they've scored, over half their games are scored two touchdowns or less on offense. I believe it's seven out of nine Power Five opponents or something like that. Like this team just doesn't. They have a hard time scoring on offense, and if you don't give them short fields, it can. You get a couple red zone stops and you got to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the kicker can, they got All-American kicker. So.
Bastard.
You get across the 50 there in range almost.
Got a good kicker, got a good fullback, got a good center. That's Iowa football for you.
There you go.
All right. Well, we're going to keep this one short, but hope everybody has a Merry Christmas out there, enjoys their holiday season, and is able to be safe. Like we said, the COVID bump's going around, it's scaring a lot of folks. It's no fun. So stay healthy, stay happy. Hopefully Santa gives the Cats one more win this year for Christmas. It's been a treat chatting with you all, and we'll see you next week down in Orlando. For Adam Luck and I'm Nick Roush. Go Cats, go Kroger.